Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be discussing in some detail an AIM listed company in Jangada Mines. And to do that, we're kindly joined by the executive chairman of Jangada Mines, Brian McMaster. Brian, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's a pleasure.
So, Brian, Jangada, operating in northern Brazil, focusing on vanadium and iron ore. But would you be able to give us a little bit more detail in terms of an overview of the company?
Yeah, absolutely. Jangada listed on AIM a few years ago. Initially, we listed with a platinum group metals asset that is situated alongside the current asset that we're exploiting. About 18 months ago, we sold the PGM asset to a company in Canada because we'd identified a very high-grade vanadium titanium iron asset, which we wanted to exploit in preference to the PGM asset. And for the last year or so, we've been working very hard on bringing that asset to fruition.
So, Brian, we've had a recent instalment of news and an update on a vanadium project. Would you be able to give us a little bit more detail on that and what it means for the company going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So since we sold the PGM asset, we've decided, and you know, principally the reason we sold that asset was because we had identified this vanadium occurrence, and we thought that was a much more interesting prospect for us going forward. So we sold the PGM asset, and as I say, we've been focusing very hard on the vanadium titanium iron asset for the last year or so. We late last year, we put together a maiden JORC resource. Well, actually, it was a 43-101 resource. Earlier this year, we released a PFS, and subsequently, we've started to outline to the market a pathway to production, which we anticipate will commence in Q1 next year.
Perfect. Investors looking into the company would obviously be interested to know what they can expect going forward. What are you working on specifically now, and what will be the next key announcements that investors should look out for?
Yeah, we've sort of given the market a bit of a heads up about what we think the next, probably the balance of this year looks like. And it's really, investors probably should keep an eye out to see that we're backfilling the expectations that we've created. And those expectations are that we've said through the PFS that we released earlier this year that we've got a technically and economically extremely strong business case. What we're doing specifically at the moment in furtherance of that case is we're completing a 2,000-metre drilling campaign. We've done a sort of roughly 1,500 metres of that, and the balance will be done over the course of the next 6 weeks or so. Alongside that, we'll be producing a revised resource estimate, which will be followed by a more detailed PFS.
So, I mean, from my understanding, there's some drone surveys going on. I mean, what do they look like?
Well, yeah, the asset is quite uniform, or the resource is quite uniform. So the drilling results that we've announced so far show that we have a really consistent grade of vanadium, titanium and iron. And the drone surveys are identifying further anomalies, which are things that we'll look to explore further in the future. At the moment, we don't need to get into detail of those anomalies because we've already proven a economically feasible business case. So the work we're doing at the moment will obviously improve the size of the resource, which will mainly go to life of mine, which will of course drive some better economics, but the economics we have already are outstanding. So we're kind of making something that looks really good just look even better. And it just helps the business case for production.
So could you just talk a little bit about Goela? Is the potential there for expansion to the resource?
Yeah. So we've been announcing to the market that we've been drilling out Pitambaras, which we actually will complete the drilling there next week. Then we're going to move over to Gwaela. That is one of half a dozen other targets that we've identified. It's geographically very close to the existing target. And we're doing it just as an expansion of the resource. It was one that we've known about for quite a long time, and so it was literally the first cab off the rank in terms of where we're going to move the rigs next. So we'll put probably 10 holes in there just as a build out of the resource, and then following that we'll do probably 6 to 10 kind of, let's call them wildcatting holes, just to help us identify and understand some of the other anomalies better. But we won't go into the detail of those just yet because, well, frankly, we just don't need to. We'll end up with a resource we expect of, you know, probably north of 10 million tonnes, which gives us a mine life of 10 plus years.
Lovely. So that's something that investors can expect further news flow as that particular project progresses. But you mentioned there, Brian, production. Now, this is obviously going to be key. I mean, what's the estimates on a timeline for production and what is required to get you to a position where you are starting to produce from your projects?
Well, production can take one of two avenues, really. And one is, I mean, at the moment and for the foreseeable future, you know, iron ore prices are high. And so we've been looking at effectively a DSO type iron operation, which would effectively be a very simple production operation where we'd extract the iron ore and we'd sell that and we'd leave behind, and we'd get some vanadium credits throughout that, but we'd leave behind the titanium for further work, because that is a, you know, requires much more beneficiation. And the PFS that we've announced to the market was based on that DSO scenario, and that said that, you know, CapEx was less than $10 million, NPV was more than $100 million, payback was 3 months, and IRR of, you know, over 200%. So those economics are outstanding. Now, if you put a larger resource into that economic calculation, those numbers just go up exponentially. And so that's what we expect to see coming out of the PFS that we'll release later in the year. Now, that DSO operation, as I said, it's quite simple. It doesn't require a lot of CapEx. It's well within the grasp of Jangada to obtain that CapEx. So that's, you know, funding is not going to be a hurdle at that stage. And we could have that in operation, we anticipate, by Q1 next year. Now, the alternative scenario, which is one that we're just mapping in a theoretical sense at the moment, is we'd bypass the DSO and just go for the full beneficiation program and exploit the titanium and the vanadium fully and get maximum bang for your buck, if you like, from this resource. Now, that's a different equation, and it's not one that we've considered further than just theoretically at the moment. So, so our plans at present are to continue down the DSO program. And basically exploit the asset in a way that provides the quickest, you know, and, you know, probably not necessarily the best, but the quickest and, you know, a very economically healthy return for shareholders with very little risk. So, yeah, it's extremely exciting. It's very interesting, and it's one of those rare assets where the pathway to cash flow is very clear. There are no major impediments along that pathway. And so it's certainly within our grasp, and it's, yeah, very close on the horizon.
Fantastic. So indeed, yes, there's potentially exciting news releases to come out. I think that one of the most important things that investors, potential investors and shareholders we'll be looking at is the PEA, preliminary economic assessment. I think you might have touched on it previously, but this is obviously going to be something that's quite significant for investors. Is there any idea of when investors could be expecting that?
Well, we have released one already earlier in the year, which, as I said, was based on our smaller resource. There will be an updated one coming, and It'll be Q3 now. The drilling, to be fair, is a little bit behind schedule. I mean, things have all slowed down a bit in Brazil because of COVID, so we're probably somewhere around 6 to 8 weeks behind schedule there. We are wrapping up. We're in the final straight now, but we are a little bit behind schedule, so that will push the next study back to Q3. But we expect it will probably be a PFS now, not a PEA, because whilst the delays in the drilling are slower, it's given us the opportunity to do more work and firm up more things that would go towards a PFS. So we're going to be able to produce a document that will give investors a higher degree of confidence as to the success of the program. And we think it will be, and we expect it will be along the lines of the PEA that we've released already. So we're expecting it to be robust, technically and economically. So, it's actually looking pretty exciting for the next few months. The more astute investors and people who are experienced in jurisdictions like Brazil would identify we have made an application for a trial mining license, and those applications are always subject to regulatory review. And it would be certainly inappropriate of us to guess what the regulators are going to say. However, we have extensive experience in Brazil, and based on that experience, we don't anticipate any reason why the regulator would not want to support a trial mining license. So whilst it is something that, we do need to get in the bag, we are very confident that that will come to pass over the course of the next few months. And, after that, I was going to use a very crude pun, because Jangada actually is the name of a Brazilian sailing boat that can't sink. So I was about to say, after that, it looks like pretty plain sailing.
Thank you. Yeah, lovely. So, I mean, Brian, just to finish off there, I mean, you did mention some investors may be aware of the area and what's happening there. But, I mean, for those that aren't particularly familiar with Northern Brazil and other prospects and projects and companies operating there, would you just be able to give a bit of context in terms of other players in the area, other mines that are operating at the moment and what they look like?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the most... probably the two most relevant comparisons are our immediate neighbour, who are the people we sold the PGM asset to, which is a Canadian TSX-listed company called Valor Metals. I mean, Valor have released a slew of information regarding the PGM asset, and it shows that it's a very robust asset that has a substantial exploration potential, and those guys are progressing very strongly. They just recently raised, I think, $8 million Canadian to continue their exploration. So they've got very high hopes for that, and we literally share a border with them. And the other really interesting comparison is Largo, who some listeners might be familiar with, is a vanadium play. It's, again, TSX-listed, I think. And, it's had a market cap as high as $2 billion. I think I haven't looked recently, but it's, something less than that now. It's, maybe... 600 or 700 million or something of that ilk. But Largo is a producing mine. They have been producing for quite some time. They have grades, not dissimilar to ours. And they're, within spitting distance of us. So, they're a very successful near neighbour. And more broadly, where we are situated, we're 300 kilometres on a paved federal highway back to an international port. The port has a bonded area, which they have told us that there is capacity within that bonded area for us to bring our ore to the port, process it there if we choose, and then export it without attracting duties. So there is some real economic synergies to be gained by using that port, which, as I say, is very close on a paved highway. So there's no big ticket logistics around, building railways or building roads or any of that kind of stuff. We have everything we need to get this thing off the ground is already there and available to us.
Fantastic, Brian. Thank you very much. Very interesting there, making a comparison to a neighbour with a market cap there of $2 billion and with yourselves trading here in London on the AIM market with a market cap of around 19 million, that does highlight the potential there. to thank you very much for giving some context on the company. So, Brian, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
No, I appreciate it very much. It's great to talk to you. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Brian. And I'm sure we'll be updating listeners when we hear more from Jan Garda down the line. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.